thousands and thousands of countless Talmidim as the Menahal and Rosh Yeshiva of Halab and DRS. And I can tell you that so much of Yula, so much of Rabbi Kamenetsky's DNA and approach to Chinuch is because it is due to Rabbi Kamenetsky, someone I will turn to. We had some shoes in this summer. I had the schus to be in DRS this summer to be with Rabbi Kamenetsky. Rabbi Kamenetsky is always available, not just for his Talmidim, not just his community, but for really all Mechanchim and Mechanchos across the world. He's the Rebbe's Rebbe. That's really Rabbi Kamenetsky. A phenomenal Chacham, a mentor, someone I look up to. Anyone who goes online to Torah, and I know many of us do, just look up Rabbi Kamenetsky's Shmuzin and Shiurim, and you'll just be blown away by how special and inspiring Kamenetsky is. It's a tremendous kavod and schus to have Rosh Yeshiva of DRS for Kamenetsky here this morning.
Thank you, Rabbi Suffren, for making me feel like I'm at my funeral. So it all went down, Rishus, all the Rabbeim, Rabbi Suffren, all the Rabbeim, it all went down at Saratek tournament a couple of years ago. This is something that happens frequently. In a different context, maybe we'll talk about some of the things that irk me about the following topic. Because anyone who goes to games, if you go to a professional sports game, or you go to a Saratek game, or you go to any game, so we know that the guys in the stands, they like to chant. They like to chant. Now, we could go into a whole discussion about chants, but in our yeshiva, actually, one of the chants that I always used to feel was pretty proud of, and Rabbi Rose and I did not coordinate this before when I came this morning. I heard everybody singing a song that our guys sing in yeshiva a lot of this. It was such a joy to be out there singing with you guys, and I really felt, we haven't started school yet, and to come here this morning, I really felt like home. I feel like Yula and DRS, and so many similarities, so many shared feelings. I could see the energy, and everything walking this morning was so amazing. And one of the times you feel the energy of a yeshiva is listening to them chant in the stands. And I don't know how things are here on the West Coast. I don't know what you guys do chant or don't chant. Anyway, it all went down to a sound check for me couple years ago. And unfortunately, I've had the experience on more than one occasion that sometimes my guys, they'll do a chant. They'll chant a particular chant. And all of a sudden, and sometimes I don't even understand, honestly, what they're chanting or what it is. And somebody will come over to me. Usually it's a parent from the other school, the opposite school that we're playing. And anyway, it happened. My guys are chanting and screaming and yelling and chanting. And all of a sudden, I see we're playing a school, I'm not going to say which school, it doesn't really matter which school we're playing, we're winning the game, it's in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden that guy starts chanting. They're chanting and chanting, I was across the gym, I didn't even really see what was going on. And a mother from the other school, who I happen to have known, friendly with her, runs over to me and says, Rabbi, I can't believe you're letting the kids chant this chant. And I'm going over saying, what are they chanting? They're saying, Gishmat, Gishmat, they're chanting. In the middle of the game, it's a Gishmat. I said, what's the problem with that chant? What's the matter with it? She says, no, they're singing it because we're a co-ed school and you're an all-boys school, so they're singing it because you're real Jews and our school's not real Jews. I said, I promise you, we sing this song when we play Haredi schools, we sing this song when we play Reform and Conservative schools, we sing, this is not, I promise you, they're not singing about you, they're not trying to say you're not Jews and we are Jews. I tried to explain to her, we've been singing this song at every single game we play, all boys, we have nothing against you. Believe me, I'm the first guy to admit it when our guys will be chanting something not appropriate. But geschmack to be a yid, to chant at a game? Now, does anybody know what the word geschmack actually means? Well, I want to talk to you this morning, gentlemen, about this song, Gishmak. I just want to speak to you about one word today. The word Gishmak. The word Gishmak in Yiddish means tasty, sweet. Gishmak to be a yid. It's tasty and sweet.
And the Torah in the parsha that we're going to read tomorrow morning tells us such an important lesson in the very, very first pasuk. And if I'm thinking about what high school kids, high school boys should be thinking about and should believe and should know as yeshiva begins again, you see people walking around in the morning so excited, singing, meeting each other, coming back, meeting your rebbes. I want to talk about Bishnat Tavidia. Because I think if we would be honest with ourselves, and I'm just remembering back when I was in high school, I used to say it wasn't that long ago, but as time goes on, maybe it actually has been some time ago. Embarrassed to say, but I feel like it was just yesterday. I know that it's fair, if we'd be honest with ourselves, we would know that it's probably fair to say that not all of us at all times actually feel that it's so gishmak to be. Some of us sometimes maybe feel that Yiddishkeit puts some burdens on us. And it tells us we can't do this. We want to be doing that, and we can't do it. And sometimes maybe we don't always have the experience. We don't always, if we'd be honest with ourselves, we wouldn't always really feel that it's so gishmak. We might sing the song. We might jump up and down and dance and cheer in the stands at a game. But do we really always feel that way? And I'd like to try to make the case for you this morning. Why it's so gishmak to be in. Why should we always feel how lucky and blessed and privileged we are to come to yeshiva to study Torah, to connect with our amazing rabbeim? Why is it so gishmak? Three brief questions on the very first pasuk or two that we're going to read tomorrow morning. Re'ei masadu lefnecha b'yom bracha uklala. Behold, HaKadosh Baruch Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, I'm giving you this morning a blessing and a curse. Bracha uklala. Es ha-bracha. What's the bracha? Asher tishmeno mitzvos Hashem elokeichem. When you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, what's the bracha? Where's the bracha? The Torah never tells you what the bracha is. It's the simple way to read the pasuk is Es ha-bracha. If you listen to Hashem, Asher tishmeno mitzvos Hashem elokeichem, if you listen to the mitzvos, you'll get the bracha. Im lo tishmeno, the ha-klala, im lo tishmeno. And what's the klala? You'll get cursed if you don't listen. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says Es ha-bracha, Asher tishmeno, that you will listen. It should have said Im tishmeno. If you listen, you'll get the bracha, like it says by the don'ts. Im lo tishmo, and if you don't listen, then you're going to get the klala. So why by the bracha does it say asher tishmo, and why by the klala does it say im lo tishmo, if you don't listen? By the bracha it says that you will listen. The bracha you'll get that you will listen doesn't make any sense even diktuk-wise. It should say the bracha Es ha-bracha, if you listen, like it's by the klala. So two questions. Number one, why doesn't it say, if you listen? It says, that you will listen. And question number two, how come by the bracha it says, that you will listen, but by the klala it says, if you don't listen, then you can get the klala. And the final question, number three, is that of the Vilna Gaon and so many others, and probably many of you heard this many, many times. Question number three is, why does it start with Re'ei, which is Re'ei? What Re'ei is the singular, you probably all heard of this. Re'ei is the singular. If it would have wanted to say in the plural, addressing all of Klaisel, what would it have said? It wouldn't have said Re'ei. What would it have said if it wanted to say plural? You guys, all you guys, look, what would it have said? Excellent. Re'u. It says Re'ei, Nasati Lifnechem, in front of you, and Lifnechem is what? Lifnechem is the
plural.
Excellent, the plural. So why does the same passage start with Re'ei? The Vilna Gaon asks this question. Why does it start with Re'ei in the singular, and then it goes to Lefnechem right away? Re'ei, you, individual. Re'ei, Anochi, Nosei, Lefnechem, in the plural. Why does it switch from the individual to plural? Three questions. We got it? One, why Asher and Im? Two, why by the don'ts, by the klala, it does say Im, and by the bracha it says Asher? And three, why the singular to the plural? The great Hasidic master of Doug Welliver gives us an insight into this pasuk, which I think speaks and explains to us exactly what I began. You know what the greatest bracha for a Jew is? You know why the Torah doesn't tell you what the bracha is? Because the Torah is telling you what the bracha is. Re'ei, anochi noseh mefnechem hayom bracha. You know what the bracha is? Asher tishma'un. The greatest bracha for a Jew is Asher tishma'un. That he's going to listen to the Dvar Hashem. That he's going to take his Gemara classes seriously. That he's going to take his Chumash seriously. That he's going to develop a connection with his Rebbe this year. The greatest blessing for a Jew is Asher. Don't say if. He's not telling you if you listen, you'll get the bracha. The bracha is Asher Tishma'un. That's the bracha. The curse is if, Chas V'Shalom, Rachman Al-Aslan, if you don't do it, then there'll be a curse. But the blessing is Asher Tishma'un. So the answer to question number one, one says Asher, because that is the blessing. The greatest blessing for a Jew is to listen, to do the right thing. And I'm going to convince you, I'm going to explain to you in 1 second why it is. The greatest blessing for Jews is Asher. Why does it say Asher by the blessing and end by the curse? Because actually, we are pre-programmed to do the right thing. Right, Soloveitchik explained, you know how I know we're pre-programmed to do the right thing? The Gemara teaches us in Maseches Nida. You probably all heard of it. That an angel comes and teaches the entire Torah to a fetus in the womb. And then you all know what happens. What does the angel do? What does he do? He smacks the fetus out. When the fetus is ready to be born, he smacks it. You forget the whole Torah. What's the obvious question? The obvious question is, why in the places is the angel teaching you all Torah? You're going to forget it when you come to the world. What's the point of learning it? If you're going to forget it when you come to the world. Senator Soloveitchik, unbelievably. He says, you know why the angel teaches you the whole Torah when you're in the womb? Because the angel wants every Jew to feel like Torah speaks to me. I remember it in my subconscious. I don't remember it actually in my actual consciousness, but in my DNA. In my DNA, when I was in my mother's womb, this stuff was made for me. It connects to me. It's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. Asher Tishmon, that's why we have a medrash that says we were all at Har Sinai. I don't know about you. Do you remember Har Sinai? Yeah, the medrash says you were there. Your soul was there at Har Sinai. Do you remember it? You were there, really? You were there at Har Sinai? I don't remember it. What in the world does the medrash mean? We were all at Har Sinai. You know what it means? We were all there. It means that our soul is programmed. Our soul, which was there, it's programmed. Kishmak to be a yid. The bracha is Asher Tishmon, the greatest blessing for a Jew. In this week's parsha, we're going to read Barim Atem L'Shem Lokechem. You know what it means to go above and beyond? You know what it means to go above and beyond? To go above and beyond means you are a Ben Melech. It means if you do the regular things every day, you're Barim Atem L'Shem, you can't rip up you can't make an incision in your body, you're a holy person, you're a special person. You're Barim Atem L'Shem Lokechem. Four proofs. I want to just give you four proofs and then I'm done. I'm out. The rabbi told me 10:35. I don't go over. I ain't going over. So here we go. Why is it so gishmak to be a yid? What's so gishmak about being a yid? So number one, as I said before, you know why it's gishmak? Because when you're doing what you're programmed to do, I read recently. Anybody know what percentage of the world's population is the Jewish people? What percentage? It's 0.2%. That's 1/500. 0.2%. What population of the and what percentage of the Jewish of the world's Nobel Prize winners are Jews? It's 24% of all Nobel Prizes ever were won by Jewish people. You know what that tells me? Not that we're better than anybody. Chas v'shalom, we're not better than anybody. We're not better than anybody. But we're programmed. Our minds, our brains, we're programmed at a level to be able to understand Torah, which is sometimes very complicated. So if you're sitting in shir, and something's not going exactly right, you're not even understanding something, realize that all it takes is putting a little more focus and exercise. You are pre-programmed. The Malach taught you this in the womb. You were at Har Sinai. You have a brain. Hashem gave you a brain. because you're able to understand it. This is natural. Why does everybody go, number two, why does everybody go to Eretz Yisrael? You see guys going to Israel. I saw some guys this morning at davening. They went to Eretz Yisrael. You little guys, they went. What's the magical sauce that happens in the land of Israel that all of a sudden people come back and they really do feel tishmak to be in it? It could be many things. But let me tell you what one of them is. One of them is, when you're doing the right thing all day long, there's no greater feeling than that. Now, that doesn't mean that studying math and studying science is not the right thing. Chas v'shalom. That's the right thing for you when you're here. But sometimes when you're here, things, you can be swayed, you can do something you're not supposed to do, you get attracted, your yetzahara acts up, whatever it might be, you may look at something you're not supposed to look at, whatever might happen. When you're doing the right thing all day long, there's no greater feeling than that. Kishmak to be a yid, that's what we're programmed for. We're re'eh anokhi nosei lechem hayom es ha-bracha. Es ha-bracha asher tishma'un. The bracha is when you listen. And third, when a person puts his trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't have to be jealous of the next guy. Hashem gave me exactly what I want. It's gishmak to be a yid. Hashem gave me what I need. I don't have to look at the other guy's house, or look at the other guy's friends, or he's more popular, or look at his Instagram, or look at... I know Hashem gave me what I need. It's gishmak to be a yid. If I have a connection to Hashem, that's enough for me. And finally, the last thing is, a lot of times a person in life feels nervous. He's concerned. Am I going to do well in the test? He's bothered. Maybe he has some anxiety about something, or somebody in his family is not well. There's something going wrong. You know why it's kishmak to be here? It's all in Hashem's hands. It's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. And my last point to you, gentlemen, because I didn't answer one of the three questions still. And that's the main point I want to leave you with. Why does it go from the singular, re'eh, to the singular, to l'fneichem in the plural? Maybe according to what we're saying, we can explain like this. When Hashem gives us what He gives us, He gives us our money, He gives us our looks, He gives us our brains, He gives us our family, He gives us everything that we have. But in a certain sense, when He gives us the ability for ruchnius, for growth, for gishmak to be in, He gives it to all of us the same. Lifneichem. He gives it to all of us the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, and the Rambam writes in one place, listen to this, gentlemen, every Jew could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Me? Little old Kamenetsky, the guy who used to be fat, who's no longer fat, he can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says, every Jew, you, me, you're in Yule ninth grade, you could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the Rambam doesn't know me, he doesn't know my family, he doesn't know how I grew up, he doesn't know my titans, my yetzahoras. I can't be like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says, every Jew, lifneichem. What Hashem gave us is for everybody. But re'eh is in the singular because it all depends on how you look at it. Every individual looks at it differently. Every individual looks at gishmak to be a yid differently. It's not what Hashem gave you the opportunity. Hashem gave you to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, how do you look at it as an individual? Re'eh anokhi nosei lefnecha v'yom bracha uklala. I'm giving to everybody equal chance at the bracha uklala. But it's up to you to decide, re'eh, how are you going to look at this bracha uklala? Are you going to really sing gishmak to be a yid and mean it? Are you going to really feel the sweetness in being a Jew and learning Torah and connecting to Hashem the way you were made to, the way He created you? He programmed you, your soul, to be an Eved Hashem, to be somebody who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the greatest blessing in the world. You feel good. But the problem is, when you start, it's hard. And it feels like it's a burden. And it feels like Hashem's telling me I can't do this, and I can't do that. And Hashem doesn't understand me. My Rebbe doesn't understand me. And he doesn't understand that I have this Yetzirah, that Yetzirah, the other. So what I'm here to tell you this morning, gentlemen, re'eh, use your eyes, your individual eyes. Look at the bracha and the klala. Look at the world. Look at the potential that each of you has. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new start. Each of you has, the sky's the limit. No saying with nechem, Hashem gives every one of you, every single kid sitting here could be like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam, not me. Everyone. But it's up to you to re'eh. You can't just sit back there and tell your rabbi, okay, let me have it. Give it to him. Lay it on me. Make me super Jew. It doesn't go like that. Re'e, every individual, it's up to you. Your rabbis can inspire you. They can give it to you. They can serve it to you. But it's up to you to grab it. Gentlemen, maybe this Elul will be the time that each of us realizes the beautiful, special spirit, how gishmak to be a Yid. It's so sweet to be a Jew. It's the greatest feeling on earth. But when you're outside it, you think it's a burden. You gotta dive in and jump in and get into it. And Baruch Hashem, you have now brought these eight amazing guys, each one is a superstar. Each one is someone that you guys can connect to. What a special privilege. What a tremendous thing that this community sees the value in having young Torah scholars to connect to you, who are with it, who are normal, who get it. Use them. Re'eh. And in Mirtz Hashem, if we really take our eyes and feel the beauty and sweetness and greatness and the bracha and the gishmak of being a Yid, Hashem will inscribe each one of us and all of our families for a year of chayim, bracha, love, and kol Beis Yisrael. Thanks so much for giving me your attention. Have a great day.